the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. This is Westside Goth out here in Cali, where it's actually kind of cold, where I hear it's warm where you are in Baltimore.
Yo, it was like 80, over 80 degrees today for no fucking reason.
It's fucking crazy, man.
It was really hot.
For no reason. We had kind of summer weather through most of December.
Like it was so hot. It's as hot as some places in Mexico. That's how hot it was today.
Yeah, that's that climate change, I guess. You know, the one that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I heard you guys had like some crazy ass like police chase last night.
I saw clips. He drove into the gold metro line or something.
Yo,
like
that's some GTA shit, dude. Like, people would do that all the time to lose cops in GTA, but unlike a video game, of course he got caught.
Did he?
Yeah, they eventually caught him.
Alright. Because most of what I saw was just about the chase. No one seemed to care if he got caught enough. They were like, holy shit, he went into the tunnels.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the more not depressing pieces of news that have been coming out over the week, because all news has been pretty much depressing.
Yeah. Except Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther was good. Black Panther was great.
I saw that
well,
shit
even
twice.
Even though the white people are trying to ruin Black Panther too.
There was like this article I read basically saying that like there was this one lady, black lady, who was like a reviewer, a critic. And she overheard a couple other white critics. And basically, they were saying that they were afraid of actually giving the movie a bad rating, because they didn't want the backlash or some shit like that. You know?
I don't think if you gave a movie a bad review, you get backlash unless your review is pretty much racist. If it was like, I saw it, I didn't really dig it. Because, like, Cody Rhodes said that he saw it during jet lag and he didn't like it. But he said it might have just been the jet lag. And, you know, and then someone called him a racist and he was like, really, dude? Like, I mean, do I agree with Cody? No, maybe it was jet lag. But it ain't like he said, you know, he just said he wasn't feeling it. He didn't give it, like, a bad review or wouldn't say anything racist. Now, if you go and watch a movie is like, say some stupid racist shit about it, or, you know, just
or have
wrote
some
a really
dumb
bad
nitpicky
fucking review
shit.
And people write, huh?
Or some dumb nitpicky shit, because
dumb nitpicky shit. Like, people say shit like, it's predictable. All fucking superhero movies are technically predictable. Don't be bringing
movie.
That shit in here. You can't be telling me it's predictable. Your ass better not have given Doctor Strange a good-ass review then. Get the fuck out of here. Predictable. Yeah, and Ant-Man was it? I loved Ant-Man. Fuck off. I mean, yeah, I knew he was gonna win. I kind of did figure that what's his name was Killmonger, but Hollywood makes predictable movies all the time. It's all about fucking execution. John Wick is almost a predictable movie. I found the end of 2 rather surprising.
Oh yeah,
well actually not really, but it's all about the execution and style. Now it's very hard to really surprise people who watch a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we expect execution and the acting, the visuals, the style. And if you can get that right, then no one's going to be like, so whatever's like a twist you see coming is still like, oh shit, that was fucking awesome. I completely forgot about that scene, because I've seen the commercials and trailers where Black Panther's walking with his arms spread out like, come at me bro, with the face off, you know, the mask off, challenge to Killmonger. And I saw that shit in the movie, like, I forgot about that. Yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they want to write a bad review, that's fine. If you weren't feeling the movie, that's fine. But if you better be not feeling the movie because you just don't feel the movie. It can't be like, it's black and it's predictable, I don't get the thing. No.
You gotta have, like,
you should at least understand on some level the importance of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, we already went off the rails already.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, man. I had to get that out of the way.
Yeah. All right. But to go straight into wrestling, We're going to once again do the shows of the weekend, not counting Elimination Chamber. We'll do that after we talk WWE, because there's a lot of shows happening this weekend. We'll start with the indie companies, because, yeah. Well, actually, I had some indie wrestling news, but I'll talk about that during news. Let's start here with the bookmarks, because I bookmarked everybody who has a show. All right, first up, we have AIW has a show this weekend. Once again, their website does not give any details other than the name of the show, which is something like, we have a dilemma, and it's Dilemma with E-M-M-A, because Tenelle Dashwood will be there. She's the only person advertised, because AIW can't be bothered to tell me what's happening on their website. I'm sure they would on their, you know, Twitter, but I you know, it's getting kind of hard to dig through people's Twitters to figure out what the fuck is happening. But we do have a CZW show also, and they should have a card on their website. It's Greetings from Asbury Park. It's Friday. I'm on their site now. Let's see if it'll load the actual information. Or okay, no.
Is it in Asbury Park?
Yep, it's in Asbury Park. The home of Bam Bam Bigelow and Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, nice.
It's at House of Independence, 572 Cookman Avenue, Asbury Park, on Friday. Bell time, 6 o'clock. In indie wrestling, that could be anywhere between 6 and 9 o'clock. All right. It says doors open at 7, so... So the bell time was wrong on a couple of these pictures, or maybe I just can't see right. All right. So we have... we're going to have... Well, I guess I can do some wrestling news because this one thing isn't here. But there's a match between two guys they don't bother to put the name of on this thing called Storm of Entrail. Oh, it's a band, I guess. Is that it? All right, there's a band performing. I guess Schlack is in the band?
Ew.
By the way, I was going to save this for wrestling news, but Schlack apparently was running down people at the GCW show confronting them about calling him a Nazi online.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like other wrestlers or fans?
I think fans.
No. Fuck.
Yeah, that's some bullshit, right? So, yeah. Fuck that bullshit. All right, now moving on to actual wrestling matches. There will be a Dojo Wars showcase. There's a Medal of Valor Dojo Wars match between Kit Osborne and Mike Dell. I like Dell's shirt in this picture. It says Nintendo 64, so that's pretty dope. Huh. Penelope Ford's Open Challenge. We have Brandon Kirk and a mystery partner taking on The Awakening. We have Desmond Xavier versus John Gresham. We have the House of Gungan versus Fear. That's F period. That's in listen, there's an acronym and then there's another one when the acronym spells a word. Or is acronym the one that spells a word and something else? Whatever.
Yeah, it's acronym. But, yeah. It's acronym.
Yeah. All right. We have the former Beaver Boys colliding. John Silver versus Alex Reynolds. We have the tag team title match with all the black wrestlers as the Rep versus Private Party. And in the main event, the CZW World Heavyweight Champion, Ricky Shane Page, defends against Matt Tremont. Oh, wait, hold on. Well, I'll just get rid of those bookmarks later. Bam. And then we also have, let's do some of the indie companies that's going on. Here we go. Blitzkrieg Pro, which is a New England-based company, has a show out. I think this will be their debut on Powerbomb Television, maybe? Or they've done Powerbomb Television. No, it's their live stream debut on Powerbomb TV. Here's some of the matches they have. They have DJ Zima. Was it DJ Zima? Zima Ion?
DJ Z.
DJ Z, yeah. I'm trying to remember what he used to be called.
Zima Ion.
Yeah. So DJ Z will be taking on the Fire Ant. Viteri will be taking on Sauce Williams in Wheeler, Utah. Sabu will be taking on some, I guess, Timothy Leary. So those are actually a few Chikara guys. Another group of Chikara guys, the Closers, are in a three-way ladder tag team match with Massage NV and Breakfast Club. Chuck O'Neill MMA versus somebody named King of Chaos, and there's some other people involved. But they will be making their debut on Blitzkrieg Television. Where is the actual date for this show? But this is this weekend. Yeah, it's Saturday at 7. So check that out. In fact, I didn't mark these ones, but also you're going to have IWS Hardcore. Well, no, that's in March. I'll look that up later. I don't know what the fuck that show is. All right, so that's Blitzkrieg Pop. I mean, Pro. Fuck. All right. Next up on these fucking shows, let's go to the South with Sup Graps. I think they're from the South. Southern Year Underground Pro, that's what that stands for. But their Twitter handle is just Sup Graps. And they will be in, they are located Nashville, Tennessee. Their shows, I guess, are on Pivot Share. So southernundergroundpro.pivotshare.com if you're interested.
What's Pivot Share?
Pivot Share is a type of video thing.
Oh, okay.
I believe Progress does Pivot Share. And Bar Wrestling does Pivot Share if you don't want to watch them on other things.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Pivot Share is just, I believe, just a video streaming service. All right, so let's see. There's only a few matches listed on here. We have AJ Gray versus Kurt Stallion in a I Choose You match. Don't know what the fuck that is, but Kurt Stallion is pretty good. Kevin Liu versus Angelus Lane in the Last Person Standing match. I've seen a couple Angelus Lane matches. She's pretty good. Brett Eisen versus Righteous Jesse. Kylie Ray versus Alley Cat. Also featuring Mance Warner versus Kerry Awful. Stevie Fierce versus Nick Iggy. Gunnar Myler versus Craig Mitchell. Dominic Guarini versus Kevin Lee Davidson. That's another Elgin trained guy. Matt Nix versus Donovan. Donhausen versus Slutty Cat Josh. Bishop versus Danny Adams. Oh, those, actually, all those four guys seem like they're in the same thing. Yeah, whatever. Danny Adams is another Elgin guy. Actually, I believe it's Danny Adams and Kevin Lee, whatever I said his name was. Kevin Lee Davidson. They're the guys who co-own Glory Pro now.
Okay.
All right, along with Elgin's lawyer.
Hold up, Elgin's lawyer owns,
yeah, he was
Glory Pro?
One of the guys who was financing Glory Pro when they started.
Oh.
Should I throw in some Elgin news or not? I'll save the Elgin news.
No, we might as well since we're talking about it.
All right, so before I get to the rest of these, so obviously this was a big weekend because Naito was around, right? So
yep.
Elgin was obviously driving around. So first they did Revolver, which Elgin was, as I said, advertised for. The crowd was all over him,
mm-hmm.
obviously. But the fans loved Naito. But then they did AAW, which, remember I said their only match they announced was Sami Callihan versus Tetsuya Naito.
Right.
Well, they had some, you know, various appearances and whatnot, but they actually had Elgin on the show after they said they couldn't book him.
Mm-hmm.
So he only wrestled for like 4 minutes against one of his students, and he got shitted on. People walked out.
Wow.
Of course, one of these guys who walked out was this asshole who kept calling Scarlett Bordeaux a whore because of how she was dressed the whole night, so fuck him anyway.
Oh, really? Wow.
Can't be Me Too movement and still calling women whores.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking doesn't work. So that actually killed a lot of the steam for the show until Naito fought Callihan, which I guess turned out to be a pretty good match. Interestingly enough, Glory Pro was the only of these shows that did not have Elgin at all, even though he probably was there because he was driving around Naito. So Elgin was not seen at Glory Pro. There was a brief problem with the meet and greet, so the intermission ran super long, but apparently the show went pretty well. But this also brings up news that Elgin sent a defamation or some sort of cease and desist letter to the woman who's been talking about how he covered up or chose not to address the sexual assault. So Elgin's lawyer...
He's filing a lawsuit too, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a lawsuit.
Yeah,
I don't know the exact details of it, though, how much was happening. But yeah, so the guy, so his lawyer did that on his behalf. The same lawyer who's a silent partner in running the company. By the way, the Glory Pro Show also featured surprise appearances by DJ Z and ACH.
Oh.
And apparently the show, despite the super long intermission, was pretty damn good. But, you know, I can understand if someone's like, I'm not sure I want to follow this promotion. I don't think anyone should blame Elgin's students for anything other than the one guy who did shit, though.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they knew or, you know, you know, these guys are, a lot of them are very new. No one's going to be listening to them anyway. I didn't know half of these wrestlers existed until Glory Pro came up. But that's the brief bit of Elgin news. Let's leave that behind and get to a few other shows. Jersey All Pro Wrestling has a show. I don't think I could figure out how to to maneuver their website, so. But let's see if their Twitter has anything interesting on it.
Yo, it's 2018. If your website is still shit, you have problems.
And honestly, some of these indie promotions don't even bother with the website. I mean, like, fuck, Beyond doesn't really bother with their website. Obviously, the only thing about PWG's website is getting tickets and buying merch. It's not like they really do the show announcements there or anything
right,
like that.
Right. It's always on Twitter.
It's really fucking weird. All right, so their show is on Saturday. I'm not going to go through all of these fucking things. Let's see. We have the Hit Squad versus Team Tremendous, Homicide versus Teddy Hart versus Black G's. Black G's the champion? Yes, he's the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Teddy Hart, by the way, skipped the AAW show. He was supposed to be on there, I guess. So, whatever. But he did do the chase.
Did you see that one gif where he did that, him and this other dude, like, did this crazy...
Jack Evans.
Yeah, Jack Evans. Yeah, they did that insane powerbomb shit.
Yeah. So he did do the GCW. That was an incredible gif. Yeah. We have the women's number one contendership match between Deonna Purrazzo, Maria Manic, and Jesse Brooks. Let me see if I can get through some more of these fucking stupid things. They should just pin all the matches like pictures on the top of the page. We have a light heavyweight title match between Too Hot, Steve Scott, yes, that is his name, Jigsaw, and from the WWE Cruiserweight, huh?
Jigsaw? Yeah, Jigsaw. Still wrestling?
Yes. But also in this three-way match is from the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. Was it the Cruiserweight Classic? Anthony Bennett.
Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, with
high top fade. Hot top fade, dude. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. I thought that was the light heavyweight title. There's a light heavyweight spectacular. I'm sorry. The light heavyweight title match is the champion Arcadia defending against Desmond Xavier. So enough of that one. We got who else do we have? You show, like I said, there needs to be an easier way to do all these fucking shows. You guys just get your website in order. Fucking hate having to go to this bullshit Twitter and look through your thing. Okay, Beyond Wrestling has two shows, and I'm pretty sure because they're Beyond Wrestling, they didn't want to, couldn't be bothered to just, you know, make everything easy. Because they like to make a lot of secrets. You know this, right? They do all their fucking secret shows and shit. But they have two shows this weekend. I know the MJF will be on one of these shows at least. What are the shows called? Okay, one of them is called I Want It All on Saturday.
I want it all.
Yeah, looks... The King Nick Gage will defend his GCW title against CZW champion Ricky Shane Page, and Gage said that he was too much of a pussy to put his title on the line. His soft zone title. I know that much. And then the Sunday show is called... I don't know what the fuck that says. Is that it? Damn fun. I don't understand. Whatever. There's two Beyond shows this weekend. All right. Then one more show, and then I get to the bigger companies that have shows also. Because we have... What's this one called? Progress. Woo! And they're doing something called a Thunder Bastard match. I guess it's one of their types of matches. Some sort of gauntlet elimination type match. I don't know. I don't actually watch Progress, but demand-progress.com. I guess it used to be a picture. Anyway, let's see what they have done. That's the March show. The March show is their big one, though. All right, so Chapter 64, which is Sunday, Haskins and Havoc will be taking on a group called the Grizzled Young Vets. Actually, a nice name, tag team. Charlie Morgan versus Mia McKenzie has a match. Here's the Thunder Bastards lineup. Let's see if I can get a better picture of this crap. Ah. So in this Thunder Bastards match, we have Mark Andrews versus Chris Brooks versus PK Cooper versus Flash Morgan Webster versus Pete Dunne versus Trent Seven versus Tyler Bates. It's a new entrant every 2 minutes, elimination by pin, submission, or DQ. Last man standing wins himself a title shot. And I am not going to keep going down to find you guys a show. Guys need to learn how to make this bullshit easier. And we have some Lucha Libre. That card from last week's CMLL show is essentially the show that's going to happen this Friday because they had the earthquake.
Oh, shit, that's right, they did have an earthquake. Damn. Yeah.
Apparently, Arena Mexico was in fine shape, but because of the time frame it took to inspect, they just canceled the show. So there might be a few actual changes because some of the people were booked elsewhere, but for the most part, it's still there, and the main event is Volador Jr. and Ultimo Guerrero versus Rush and El Terrible. I love the Lucha guys because instead of putting out... This is what you're going to do. If you can't be fucking bothered to do a good website and find a way to list all your matches, do what Lucha Libre does. Do a goddamn poster. Because I got the AAA poster for Friday's show here, too. I mean,
Did he do those old school type posters that have, like, a whole bunch of the matches on it?
Yeah, all of them do. Like, all of CMLL's posters have the same kind of style. That's like arena, whatever on the side, the date and information on top, and then crammed, like the big match and big font, and then as you go down, the fonts get smaller and smaller. But, I mean, it's funny and it's easy to follow. So here's the AAA show. We got a mixed match, Lady Shauna, Pulva de something, I don't know how to say her name, Kukulkan versus La Hedra, Mamba, Halcyon Jr., Kato Lee and Red Max versus Molino and Scorpio 2.0, Murder Clown, Monster Clown, Dave the Clown versus Joe Leiter, who's a real good wrestler, Hysteria, and one of the various psychosises, Mr. Agula versus Rey Escorpion, and something about Psycho Clown on here, so I'm sure it's probably got a couple of matches, but yeah. And then finally, we have the Ring of Honor New Japan shows. I already talked a little bit about this. Do you want to go through it again?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. First on the 23rd. I did the main matches last time. Let's go through it. We have Kitamaru and Toa Hinare taking on part of Bullet Club. Talking. Did you see the new break being the Elite, by the way?
No.
All right. It's not all that interesting, but they're building the whole Cody Kane thing. But my favorite thing is they actually, because they were in Australia, there's a bit where the Young Bucks are talking to the Tongan brand. Well, before that, Kenny wants Chase to help him in a match, and Chase is like, are you Team Kenny? Kenny's like, you're Team Kenny, right? You're not Team Cody. And Chase Owens is like, man, I'm Team Tonga, and he shows him the Bullet Club Tonga shirt. But he agrees to help Kenny Omega. But then there's the bit where the Young Bucks are talking with the Tongan group and the OG, saying there's no beef here, right? And they pretty much let Tama Tonga talk, and it's a little, you know, standoffish, but Tama Tonga said, yeah, it's fine. And then there's a whole bit where Cody shows up and is wondering why there's a meeting. And then Kenny shows up, and his ass is like, hey, look, it's the three-star savior, the snake in the grass, to Cody. And then, like, fucking Cody throws a chair at him. But during this, there's a whole bit where, you know, some of the guys are all trying to hold everybody back, but Tama Tonga is just sitting there watching, and he ain't moving for shit. He doesn't care. And that's when people were like, fuck being Team Cody or Team Kenny. I'm Team Tama. Team don't give a fuck. But,
That contingent of Bullet Club has been marginalized so much, they deserve to just chill out.
Yeah, I mean, Tama Loa was also kind of just, he was standing while watching it, but Chase, Gino Gambino, and Bad Luck Fale were trying to hold some people back. But yeah, Tama Tonga was just there with the shades looking chilled as fuck. So that was good. But yeah, so Kitamaru and Toa Hinare are taking on what I call Bullet Club Tonga as Bad Luck Fale teams with Yujiro Takahashi. We have Cheeseburger, Delirious, and Liger taking on Tonga team, Hiko Leo, Tonga Loa, and Tama Tonga. David Finley and Juice Robinson taking on the Young Bucks. I seriously think the Young Bucks are going to move to the heavyweight division in New Japan soon, because it's really the only thing they should do. Triple threat match, Kushida, Hiromu Takahashi, and Flip Gordon. Ryusuke Taguchi, Jay Lethal, and the ROH World Champion Dalton Castle taking on Chucky T, Beretta, the best friends, along with knife pervert Jay White. I just like calling him that. Never open weight championship match. Goto defends against the Beer City Bruiser, and in the main event, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, the Golden Lovers team up with Bullet Club Tonga representative Chase Owens versus Cody versus I did agree to this match Hangman Page versus I didn't agree to this match Marty Scurll. That's kind of how they're describing it. And then that show is Friday, and then the last show is Saturday, which is Toa Hinaru goes one-on-one with the Beer City Bruiser. David Finley, Juice Robinson, and Jay Lethal take on Bullet Club Tonga as Hikuloa, Yujiro Takahashi, and Chase Owens. Yeah, versus them. So that's really just one Tongan, but they're all Bullet Club Tonga, in my opinion. Even though Yujiro doesn't wear the shirt, but all he pretty much only teams up with either Chase Owens or Tongans now.
Yeah.
Ryusuke Taguchi teams with Flip Gordon. Oh, by the way, I think the new the next PWG show is kind of a joke on Flip Gordon's flat earth thing. It's like time is a flat circle or something like that. yeah, okay, so Taguchi, Flip Gordon versus Bushi and Roma Takahashi. We have Cheeseburger, Delirious, and Jushin Liger challenging for the Never Openweight Trios titles as Team Tonga, Tonga Loa, Tama Tonga, and Bad Luck Fale defend. Chucky T, Knife Pervert, Jay White, a.k.a. the U.S. champion, and Yoshihashi, how the fuck did I get here, versus the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, a.k.a. the Hung Bucks. ROH title match, Dalton Castle defends against Beretta. I'm sure that'll be good. And in the main event, the Golden Lovers versus Cody and Marty Scurll. And those are all the shows most of us are not going to watch because we are really only concerned about Elimination Chamber.
Definitely.
The ROH shows, but still. What?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, but, a pretty good set of shows this weekend. And Anarchy Championship Wrestling is still around, and they actually do have a show this weekend, too, but I couldn't figure out what card.
I knew they were still around.
Yeah, there's also, like, five other ACWs, too. But, I did see, though, that ACH will be on this Anarchy Championship Wrestling show this weekend. So, boom! All right! We want to do news, or we want to do WWE stuff first?
Let's do WWE stuff first.
All right, well, I got the card for Elimination Chamber ready when we're ready for that. So, Raw and SmackDown, man. I heard Raw had a great match. I almost wanted to go online and look for it.
Yeah, apparently it was like 2 hours. The Gauntlet match was 2 freaking hours, and like Seth Rollins was basically in it for like over an hour. I think Braun Strowman ended up being the winner on that one, though. But yeah, like the standout was definitely Seth Rollins, and I think basically everything else on Raw was forgettable besides that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you have good wrestling.
Yeah.
When you put good wrestling on a program and people see what good wrestling is, they don't care about that weak shit.
Yeah, and apparently they said that those 2 hours, probably the longest televised wrestling match, period. Like, in America, at least. Because like the farthest back the last longest was a Bruno Sammartino match from the 60s that was like 81 minutes.
Oh, well, that's very impressive. I mean, I've always been a fan of gauntlet matches. I think gauntlet matches are underrated. I don't know if you remember, but there was some years back where they had a Daniel Bryan gauntlet match, and he had to wrestle a bunch of people. I forget, but he wrestled Cesaro and Jack Swagger in the same match. Mm-hmm. I forget if someone else was in it, too. Man. Okay, I forget. Or maybe... Man, it goes back. I'd have to look it up. But gauntlet matches are fucking great. I'm going to look up a WWE list of gauntlet matches to see if I can find some. But wrestling does need more gauntlet matches. I just honestly believe that. They're so fucking cool. And they can go like from 1 or 2 minutes to, fucking 20, 30 minutes, and they have to go and wrestle again. I fucking love gauntlet matches. Wait, wasn't there a Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan tag team gauntlet match too at one time?
SmackDown?
I think so. I think so.
Because, and they wrestled the tag team turmoil match. Yeah, alright, that was a great one too. Maybe I'm thinking about that, I don't remember. You know, I would have been all in on a Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan tag team. That shit was awesome. Ugh. Alright, I'm done talking about how much I love Gauntlet matches.
Okay. Shit, what else happened? Fuck. I think there was a match with the women that I didn't pay attention to. The only thing I heard was that, like, there may have been an exchange between, Mickey James and, like, Mandy Rose.
Like, yeah, I saw something, gifts of, Mickey James was saying something after she took a move.
Yeah, she was basically I heard she was basically cussing her out or some shit like that.
Yeah, Mandy Rose seemed to be having trouble trying to get on to Mickey James and make the move work or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it ended up being an okay kind of facebuster thing, but you could tell Mandy Rose was trying to do this move that might have been a little too complicated for her.
Right.
I mean, and while she executed it, it just came off as a little amateurish.
Right.
It wasn't bad, but it really looked like it was the first time she did it, and she didn't make it look clean.
And then, shit, what else happened? And then SmackDown happened. Didn't really pay too much attention to anything at all, even though it was definitely on my TV. But 205 Live, I did watch that after the fact, and Buddy Murphy faced Arya Daivari. Really dope match. Of course, the crowd was fucking dead, as usual. but yeah, the match was dope. Buddy Murphy did this, like, dope pump handle, swinging slam thing, which was pretty cool.
I saw you say it. I've seen that move before. It's a really good move. Interesting enough, the first person I've seen do it was actually Ricochet, after I hadn't seen Ricochet for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, because he was Helios for a while in Chikara, and I wasn't really paying attention to how he was getting buff, but then he kind of disappeared, and then I saw him evolve all swole as fuck, and that was his finisher for a while.
Really?
I know Brian Cage also does the move. He calls it the whale catcher when he does it.
Oh, okay. Huh. Okay, yeah, so yeah, that was dope. And then Jack Gallagher versus Mustafa Ali, that was a dope match too, so... Definitely some dope shit that went down. What else? And then besides that, yeah, that was it for the weekly shit that I paid attention to.
The problem with WWE is there's so much of it that you kind of zone in and out depending on your level of interest for the wrestlers.
Right.
Whereas with the pay-per-views, even though if you don't like the guys, you're still paying more attention because it's, you know, the big events.
Yeah.
And speaking of those shows, we have the Elimination Chamber 2018 coming to you from the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. Yeah, okay. Alright, before we get to the matches, apparently Ronda Rousey will be there to sign her Raw contract. Yeah. Alright, we only have 4 matches listed, there, right now at least. I'm sure there'll be more, like some pre-show matches or something. But what we have for sure is Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt in a singles match. Asuka versus Nia Jax singles match. If Jax wins, she will be added to Asuka's championship match at WrestleMania 34. And then we have the 2 Elimination Chamber matches. We have... Oh, wait. Let's go back first. Who do you think wins, Matt Hardy or Bray Wyatt?
You know, I'm going to go with Bray.
All right. Okay. I don't know. I'll go with Bray, too. And then Asuka versus Nia Jax. For some reason, I think this match is going to end in like a double DQ, double count-out type thing. What about you?
You know what? I have no idea. Not going to lie.
Yeah, because I want a one-on-one match, but I don't want Nia Jax to lose this match.
I feel like she's going to lose it. She's going to lose it. Yeah. Like, I want her to win and actually make it, but I don't think so. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah. All right, and then we have our Elimination Chamber matches. The Women's Raw Champion, Alexa Bliss, will be in the match, defending her title against Bayley, against Mandy Rose, against Mickie James, against Sasha Banks, against Sonya Deville. Honestly, I think Alexa Bliss will walk out champion.
Yeah, I think she retains somehow. She squeaks by. She makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Mickie James will go out first because they caught her insulting Mandy Rose on television.
Oh, you can't have that. You can't have her insult the Aryan goddess.
See, if I have to pick a blonde to succeed, so, I mean, I haven't seen much of Mandy Rose, but come on, you have Alexa Bliss. She's proven to be, even if I have my reservations about her, she's proven to be quite the character, and she works.
Yeah, exactly, because she has a character. The problem with Mandy Rose is she doesn't.
Yeah. And, I mean, you have like two or three blondes in NXT who are far better. I mean, Abby Lathe is good, even though she isn't the picture of Aryan goddesshood they would want. Yeah. She's still a really good wrestler.
And
she has a character.
And what's her name? One that used to be a Marine.
Yeah.
She's actually pretty good, too.
I want to say, is Lacey Evans? Is it Lacey Evans?
Yeah, Lacey Evans. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, she has a character. She has a good finisher. But I think, but also the Australian blonde, the bigger one.
Oh, fuck. Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley, I think there's a lot of potential for her, too. So, of the blondes I know, I mean, personally, Abby Lathe is my favorite of them, but if I had to rank them as far as WWE goes, it would go Alexa Bliss, Abby Lathe, because she's a better wrestler than the other two, but also Rhea Ripley, and then Lacey Evans. I see more value in them. Mandy Rose is pretty.
And then, even I put freaking Liv Morgan above Mandy Rose, to be honest.
Yeah, I have to watch more of both of them, but from the little bit I've seen, Liv fits, seems like she fits more in her group than Mandy does in her group.
Exactly.
Yeah. What I've seen of Sonya Deville has been pretty impressive. So, hopefully she gets a good show in here. I do kind of think it'll end up being like Alexa Bliss versus Bayley or Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
In the final two, obviously. Alright, main event time. For a shot at the Brock Lesnar because his ass can't be bothered to show up. We have Braun Strowman versus Elias versus Finn Balor versus John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Miz. We know who's winning this match, so should we talk about the order of who's going to be eliminated so that Roman Reigns goes to the main event?
Shit.
It's going to come down to Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman in the final two, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Still rooting for Braun.
Here's the thing is, I would love for Braun to win this, but I think as far as one-on-one matches go, Roman versus Brock is a little more interesting to me than Brock versus Strowman. Does that make sense? I mean, the Braun-Brock stuff is fine, but I think because of Roman Reigns being a smaller opponent, there's more drama involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, while I like Braun a bit better than Roman, I would prefer Roman to go on to wrestle Brock. Unless this becomes a triple threat match between all three of those guys, in which case, even better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so since we know pretty much where we're going to go, here's a question. Who eliminates John Cena?
Fuck.
Is it going to be Elias so that they do the Elias versus Cena thing?
Oh, shit. It could be.
Either
Elias or Seth.
Alright. So this is just my random guess. And if this is all going to lead to WrestleMania matches, I see it like Braun eliminates The Miz, so that way if Braun doesn't win this match, he'll probably take the IC title off The Miz. Maybe Seth Rollins and Balor get their things in, so we end up having one of those, that match, possibly. Cena versus Elias. That's kind of how I see it going. But we're pretty much agreement that Roman Reigns is probably winning. So those are the only four matches listed for the Elimination Chamber. What's your hype level?
I'd give my hype a 6 out of 10. I'll watch it, but it's like, yeah, it's whatever.
I agree. I love the Elimination Chamber matches, so those two are fine. But it's like, well, is there anything else going to happen? And it doesn't feel like anything else is going to happen. Kind of a waste, really. All right, so I guess it's time to talk about news. Let me pull up mine.
News.
All right, so I'll go first. All right, already talked about that. Here we go. New Japan had their Australian tour. The Adelaide venue was actually too big for them. They only did about 1,000 there, but Meltzer, when someone criticized it today, Dave Meltzer pointed out that between ticket sales and merch, they probably already made $200,000 in U.S. dollars. So that was a pretty good first stop. But the Sydney, Melbourne, I believe it was Perth shows, all did really well. Sydney and Melbourne were either sold out or close to a sold out with 3,500 to 4,000 attendees.
Damn.
So the tour went on really well for them. Bad Luck Fale was the point man, and he worked with Gino Gambino, who's an Australian wrestler and one of the Australian representatives for Bullet Club, and a guy named George Carroll to set up the show. So the Australian tour turned out pretty well. Also during the tour, Kenny Omega started doing the crossroads, and Cody started mocking the Terminator pose for the dive to the outside. Also, Evil is out of the anniversary shows and tour with an orbital bone injury.
Oh, man.
Now, the details of this are a little confusing. Either he was injured at Wrestle Kingdom but kept wrestling because he thought it wasn't that bad, and this re-aggravated it, or he was just injured now. Luckily, we have the New Japan Cup coming up, so... And New Japan doesn't have this, you have to defend the tag titles within 30 days. The only reason they would vacate a title like that is if the wrestler is going to be probably out for 4 to 5 months or something like that. So I'm guessing they don't see Evil being out for that long right now. So, yeah, he'll be out for the anniversary stuff, and he'll probably be out for the New Japan Cup. I might not be able to see him for the Strong Style Evolve, which would really suck, but I hope he gets better, and that's what's important. So that's New Japan news. That Abby A person with the cancer scan.
Yeah.
She apparently faked her death.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
She tried to fake her death, too. That shit's crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody with cancer, we're sad to report.
But before that, apparently the Abby, apparently now, like, I think there was, like, a hospital or something like that that's going to basically try to get their legal team to put some shit up, maybe have some criminal charges against her, because I think she used some letter with a doctor's name or some shit like that, so it's looking really bad for her.
Yeah, that was stupid.
But yeah, the other cancer news, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that was sad. Lufisto was diagnosed with cervical cancer.
Cervical, yeah, shit.
She said right now the prognosis isn't bad, they caught it early.
Yeah.
She was at the recent Glory Pro show. She showed up. She wrestled. She apologized for not being able to stay because she had to catch her flight out. But, yeah. So she's still working.
Yeah. And I just saw her because, the Beyond show that I went to Philly for, the Beyond and the NXT TakeOver, she was at the Beyond show. She faced John Silver at that one. So
I imagine she's going to be at the next ones, too. I'm curious if she's going to be at any of the WrestleMania weekend stuff, because I've actually been keeping track of all the WrestleMania weekend shows for us to do. However, the Thursday show, we're probably going to have to end up doing that the week before we cover WrestleMania weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have a list of all the wrestling companies for that weekend we know about, which is 2 GCW shows, 1 Beyond show, a local promotion called Wildcat, the WrestleCon show, 2 Evolve shows, The Crash, 1 Rev Pro show, an Impact show, 2 Evolve, 1 WWN Super show, 1 Revolver, House of Hardcore, CZW, Shimmer, WWN Style Battle, Kaiju Big Battle, and Ring of Honor Supercard.
so much shit, and all of them can't do pile drivers or get bloody.
Apparently, New Orleans has changed the rules, so it should be fine.
Oh, because I heard there was like Twitter with a blue check that I just saw like an hour ago that said that they couldn't do that shit. So I don't know.
It's been going back and forth. I think David Starr was talking about to Cody, and he said,
"Yeah, David Starr's the first person I heard."
And David Starr said, "Yeah, some things have changed, but you still can't do everything."
Yeah,
and they're reminding people if you are going to wrestle there, you have to get blood work.
Blood work, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so
I saw Ethan Page. He posted like a corner of his like documents that he, because he's getting blood work in Ontario. Apparently, I don't know if they'd allow. Do they allow blood work from Canada to be verified?
Well,
in the
US? I think it's just as long as it's not older than 6 months, it should be fine.
Oh, okay.
I can look up. Would it be New Orleans wrestling or rules or Louisiana? Well, I'd say New Orleans wrestling regulations. Let's see if I can find an official list of stuff. Attention coaches, Louisiana high school athletics. There is a thing about Louisiana boxing. Should have been wrestling at dual states. Weird Louisiana and New Orleans laws. This would probably take forever to look up. The thing I noticed about professional wrestling, too, is because you have to get licenses for everything. But wrestling is one of those things where it's in some states it's harder to figure out what the fuck you're allowed to do or not to do.
Yeah, because like in like Maryland and some shit, like they still consider it like part of like the combat sports thing. So you gotta have like a sports license and some shit to operate, and it's a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah. Well, I accidentally downloaded the boxing wrestling regulations for Louisiana. Let's see if this state actually pops up. Loading. Stupid motherfucker. Alright. Oh, that's a lot of legalese shit. Stuff about seating capacity. I guess these are licensing fees. Commissions may require a bond from clubs and security. Oh, that's commissions and security deposits. Tough man concept prohibition. Definitions, constructions. Boxing contest. The word the wrestlers. Like, illegal contact sports penalty. Any person who initially commits any of the following shall be guilty of illegal contact sports. Receives money for the admissions of another person for purposes of sections. Ah, Jesus Christ. This is the problem. Everything is so fucking legalese. You're like, what the fuck am I looking for? Alright, I'm not going to waste time on this shit.
Alright.
I'm sure there are always people. Anyway, yeah. The last bit of wrestling news I had was, it depends on how much you care about Chikara, but I thought this was a neat little thing. Their Chikaratopia will be streaming all shows from Wrestle Factory Live from now on.
Oh, okay.
So, for the, I think it's $7.99 a month, you get, obviously, the archives and the, whatever shows they put, you know, because I think it usually takes them, like, a week or two to put it on Chikaratopia anyway.
Yeah.
Because they want it on VOD first. But, if you, now they're streaming live, so that's, pretty cool. I've been thinking about picking up Chikaratopia myself because, like I said, some of the shows they have listed for this year actually look fun. But I don't know. Obviously, I might be getting one of the subscriptions to one of the Japanese wrestling ones. Yeah, I don't know. But lots of wrestling, and that's always fun. And, that's it.
All right.
For wrestling news on my side, I think.
All right. Yeah, we talked about Mandy Rose earlier. Apparently, like during the match on Monday, she did this like hair flip thing, and basically Bianca Belair was not having it because she's the hair usage girl or whatever. So there was an exchange. They went back and forth. It's a whole nuanced thing. Freaking Scott Dawson got like chimed in. I don't know why, whatever.
He's white?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he chimed in and basically went to Mandy Rose's defense. But then WWE.com picked up on it and actually put a story out about the Twitter beef. So I guess it's whatever. They'll use whatever to get some buzz around people. So I guess it's kind of good on Bianca, so now it's a little more noise with her. Either that, or they're just trying to make her lessen her to build up Mandy Rose, of course. I didn't honestly read the article because
WWE has to remember that they're in a position now where their audience expects the wrestlers to come through and execute.
Yeah.
You do not have, like, Braun Strowman works because he really grew into the role that they pushed him into really fast.
And then before that, they didn't think much of him.
Yeah.
People didn't think much of him. So, like, as of right now, Mandy Rose hasn't proven shit to anybody. Bianca has.
I mean, she had though that.
Even though she's had only a few matches, like streamed matches or whatever, she's proved that she could actually be something like big than she is right now, you know, because she's had some great shit going on. So I don't know,
it really comes down to that execution. That's where like Ryback failed. I mean, it was cool watching him squash guys, but the minute he loses a match, all the it just sort of breaks down as you keep going forward. It's like, well, now that he loses, how is he gonna? Can he put on a good match for people who can fight back?
Mm-hmm.
Can he? Does he have a character? And it showed that there were cracks there.
Yeah.
So far, like you said, Mandy Rose doesn't really have a character. She's just part of the group.
Yeah, she's just there for the most part. She has she has a nickname, Golden Goddess, whatever. But other than that, that's it. Like, she has a look and a nickname. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, you have to have, in this day and age of wrestling content, you have to have wrestlers who can come through, who can take it to another, not maybe take it to another level, but really hang in there and have, especially right now when you have fucking Asuka killing your division.
Yeah, you have to have
Nia Jax being a monster.
Yeah, you have to have multifaceted in order to succeed. You can't just go out there and look good and be marginal, you know?
Yeah.
The reason that, we bring up Alexa Bliss, the reason that Alexa Bliss still works is because her character work is great. That outweighs a lot of her shortfalls. But Mandy Rose, we see her shortfalls. We don't see much of an upside from her besides her looks right now.
Yeah, and even for Alexa Bliss being at best an okay worker, she still has that sort of old school thing where even her weakest stuff still looks like it's executed by a professional.
Right.
I mean, her DDT, I mean, well, she was winning matches with just a DDT for a minute, but she looked pretty good doing it.
Right.
Or even that spot when that Sasha Banks match where she faked the injury
mm-hmm.
with her arm.
With the arm shit, yeah.
Yeah, she's doing those little things. Those kind of little things that are supposed to make like someone like Dean Ambrose crazy, but it just makes him look silly.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying, the nuances of the actual technique.
Right,
she's
right.
got that stuff down really well. So it works for her. You need to be the best wrestlers have both characters and skill. But if you can't trade on either one of those, you're not going to do good. Mandy Rose needs more time to develop. And she's not intimidating looking either, so that doesn't help.
Yeah. And in other news, WWE signed Amprit Singh. If you don't recognize that name, he is an Indian wrestler who actually appeared on TNA's Ring Ka King promotion offshoot deal from some years back. So they scooped that guy up. So good on him. So
yeah,
they're really trying to build their Indian brand, dude. Like, they're really trying to build that brand because I think they just signed an Indian like two weeks ago.
Yeah, the woman we thought was already signed, right?
Yeah. Well, no. I think there was another one before her.
I'll look up Indian WWE wrestlers and see what pops up real fast.
I think there was another one before her that got signed, too.
Indian WWE wrestlers. I'm always fascinated by how fast some people can type on these little phones. Yeah. I just can't do that well.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, I put off getting a smartphone for so long. I'm better than when I first got it, but still... Indian wrestlers in WWE history, that's too worse. Let me see if I can bring up something news within the last month. I think the last month, right?
Or yeah.
Past month, boom. Let's see what we got here. First female wrestler from India, that was February 9th. Another Indian wrestler signed for the company 5 days ago. That's probably what you're talking about. I wish there was a better list of information. Obviously, they're not going to list it. Sorry, go on.
Okay, what else? Oh, hold on. I must be thinking about maybe January. Because there was definitely one that got signed in January. That was like a kickboxer actor dude.
Indian wrestlers. Let me write kickboxer and see if that pops up.
Yeah, it was like Gurjar. Something like that.
Boxer, kickboxer, MMA fighter reports to WWE. Muhammad Fahim.
It's a guy 6'8", 298 pounds.
Alright, let's see if this is the guy they're talking about. Let's see. Muhammad Fahim. Fahim's accomplishment in combat sports. He did the 2017 tryout in Dubai. All right, he's 28 years old. He actually hails from Cairo, Egypt. This guy, 6'1", 220 pounds. I don't know if he's the same guy you're talking about.
It says Gurjar is best known in India for his portrayal of Bahim in the Hindi language mythological TV drama Mahabharat.
Oh. Alright, so you got someone else than I found.
Yeah.
Probably this one.
Yeah, but either way, they've signed a fucking ton of these goddamn Indians in the past, like, few months.
Goddamn Indians?
Goddamn Indians. Yeah, that's right. I said goddamn Indians.
They're taking our wrestling jobs.
Yeah, they are taking our wrestling jobs. Apparently, speaking of India...
to all you guys, so...
Speaking of India, like... one of the characters in Black Panther praised a Hindi god in the movie, but when you watch it in India, they actually mute it. Like, they mute, I guess because he's an antagonist, or I guess because the character's an antagonist or something like that, they decided that they didn't want the god associated with something bad or some shit, but it was some dumb shit. Some real dumb shit.
Well, India has some very specific things. I think they went after a film late last year.
Oh yeah, I think they're still going after it. Like, but we just haven't heard a lot.
Yeah, it's the politics have
because right now
international cinema are very fascinating. If you want to sit there and dig through stuff,
and then like besides that, like right now, I think a lot of like Indian Muslims are getting persecuted in that country. It's getting ugly. It's getting really ugly now.
Yeah,
I feel bad. But in other news, Rich Swann, he was officially let go. Apparently, they announced WWE had announced it as a mutual agreement between parties. I guess he probably had the option of either being let go or just letting his contract run out or some shit like that. Cause like, I knew for a fact that they were going
to, the deal they're not going to give to Neville.
Yeah. But I knew for a fact that they were letting him go. Some people were surprised about it, but that's not that. I don't know why they would be surprised about that. Like, that's a blemish on WWE if they bring him back in, you know? I heard what happened in the case. It's shaky. It definitely violent. I don't know. It's really fucked up. But then like, I heard besides, but since he was released, he's been getting indie bookings left and right, apparently. So I think what they say, I think one of the places was House of Hardcore ended up booking him and some other places. But yeah, somebody mentioned on Twitter that like, yeah, like, I don't know, like if he doesn't actually say anything about this shit, like actually like put forth any type of effort to like go out publicly and acknowledge what the fuck has happened before he starts appearing in places and shit, that this could get ugly for him. Like, I don't know. But it didn't, even then, it's going to be iffy for people. Like, it's going to be, like, I feel like the only way that people are going to be not as iffy is if we heard from Soo Young. You know?
Yeah. I mean, if he's traveling with her, no one's going to bring it up with to him, though. I know that.
Yeah, but
no one's going to want to confront him about that if his wife just happens to be there.
Yeah, but at the same time, I look at the incident with Ray Rice and how his wife stood behind him, but people still weren't convinced. So it just spells something bad for him in general. So I wish him the best of luck, him and his family, but yeah, it's going to be a rough time for him. Yeah. And hopefully he learned from that shit, but yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of family shit, apparently the reason that Leo Rush has been sort of absent for a while is because he had another, there was another addition to his family. A baby boy, apparently. So that that birth happened last week, and he was supposed to originally be in the Cruiserweight tournament instead of Buddy Murphy. But I guess because of his personal obligations, he couldn't do it or something like that. So, but yeah, good on him, I guess, for having another addition to it. I think that's his second kid, because he already has a son that's like maybe, like, I want to say like that's fairly young, like a really really young kid. He's young himself. Shit, he already has fucking two kids, and he's like what, 22, 23? Yeah, Leo Rush is 22, 23 with two fucking kids, dude.
Yeah, I am older than him with no kids.
Yeah, I'm older than him by like maybe three, four years.
I'm older than him by at least 10 years.
Yeah,
so.
But yeah, you're older than him by probably at least like 14. I'm joking. But yeah, shit, man. But yeah, good on him, I guess. It's whatever. And speaking of 205 shit, apparently Mandrews may actually be officially a part of 205 Live. Like, that wasn't just, this tournament isn't going to be just it for him. Like, that he's basically on 205 Live to stay. So Mark Andrews is officially a 205 Live WWE roster member, I guess. So
they're going to really make me start watching 205 Live, yeah, on a basis.
Yeah. Yeah, and that begs the question.
I actually did watch the Drew Gulak Tony Nese match, man. Yeah. That one suplex he did to him was rough.
Nasty, like. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that begs the question whether Buddy Murphy, most likely Buddy Murphy is going to be full time 205 Live also.
I'm hoping they actually do a graduation thing for some of those guys and put them on all the brands. Maybe next time they do the the roster shakeup. Oh, yeah. That reminds me. Have you heard they're gonna do fully on? They're not gonna do any more dual brand. Or that all the shows are gonna be dual brand.
That's exactly what I was getting to after this, because I was about to say. Besides that, because I was also saying, but Strong may end up being on 205 Live. Who knows? I hope not. Honestly, because I don't think he needs to be stuck there unless he's not winning shit. But yeah, so dual branded pay-per-views after WrestleMania. So from WrestleMania on, every pay-per-view is dual branded. It's supposed to be nine pay-per-views. Nine pay-per-views through the whole year, I believe.
So we're getting less pay-per-views then.
Yeah. So
does that mean these pay-per-views are going to be longer?
I don't know. So like, okay, so far, how many pay-per-views have we had this year? We've had Royal Rumble.
Yeah, this would be the second pay-per-view.
Elimination Chambers is this next one. Fastlane is the next one after that. And then WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
And then there's nine more after that. So it's 13 on the year total.
Huh. 13. Well, then next year, I'm assuming we're going to get rid of either Elimination Chamber or Fastlane.
Hopefully Fastlane, I guess, because we got to keep tradition going with the Elimination Chamber. Fastlane, yeah. I don't think we need it.
I mean, obviously, my business means that we're probably going to get at least one extra hour on these pay-per-views. So Are they going to use it right, or are they going to bullshit?
Yeah. And then speaking of pay-per-views, apparently, like, there was originally alleged a UK pay-per-view. Apparently, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Cost-cutting, probably?
Yeah, most likely.
That seems to be one of the big things with WWE is the cost.
Yeah.
That's why no one has fireworks. That's why the UK TV show didn't come about.
Yeah.
That's why it looks like putting off doing the Latin American and Asian tours as well.
Okay, what else? WWE recently signed a German MMA fighter. I forgot his name. Don't care that much, really. But it's interesting that they're still building up more international talent.
I'm just concerned with all the MMA fighters they're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's another... Because we just talked about it, the Indian one, who's also a mixed martial artist.
Yeah, and then I think last week we were talking about how MMA and wrestling... It can mix, and then it can also not mix, and you can hurt your brand.
Yeah.
Let's see, who is this guy?
But speaking of mixing shit...
Nikolai Salchow.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's it. Then, what they have, WWE may want Gronk. Like, Rob Gronkowski. You know, the...
Yeah. Jonathan Dijak actually tweeted him the other day.
Yeah. So, it's funny you bring up Dijak because he made a tweet. He posted a tweet saying like, "Yeah, I kind of feel left out. All these guys who came from the Indies and shit like that, like they seemed like they were told all their lives that they probably wouldn't make it to the WWE." While since I started training, that's all people were saying about me that I would make it to the WWE. You know, I thought that's a funny thing. But because he looks like a dumb.
Yeah, it's the size.
Yeah, his size is fucking everything, man. When people think about that, that's what they think about. So yeah. So besides Gronk, they also had the tryouts that we were talking about that happened last week. Who else was there? It was Austin Theory. Yeah, Austin Theory was there at the WWE tryout last week. Who was also at Evolve 101, which I saw live, which is really dope. Keith Lee destroyed Stokely Hathaway. There was a really dope match with Chris Dickinson and Zack Sabre Jr. In the four-way with Matt Riddle, Jaga, Austin Theory, and Darby Allin was dope, too. And another guy who was also at the Evolve show ended up being profiled on WWE's Twitter page because of his extracurriculars, a.k.a. his fucking magic. So, Evan Cloyd, a.k.a. Jerick120, was on, when they were taking a break from the tryout or whatever, they had him perform a special magic trick with some cards and shit like that. So
yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah. Funny thing though, I saw that, and then like a few days, like I think a day or two later, I'm at the Evolve show, and basically a lot of us were like heckling him because it was him and he was with Candy Cartwright, and he was facing Jason Kincaid, the fucking homeless looking dude from West Virginia that. Into meditation and shit. But yeah, Jarek, we were all heckling him because we all know he's the Madman. So we were like, we want to see some magic. And I yelled out, I was in the front row, I was like, I want to see some magic. I want to see some fucking... I want to see some magic. Where the magic at? And then he does that pole thing. You ever seen M-Dog 20 do that shit? Where
they jump off the pole?
No, where somebody's like laying down on the outside of the ring, like flat, and then like near a corner, and then near the ring post, and they do that like planking position, like basically hang on the pole and then jump and do it, and then drop it to an elbow and shit like that.
Yeah.
Well, Jarek did it also. And then as soon as he did it, he darts straight into my face and starts screaming at me. Like, it was like, you like that? You like that? And I was like, all right. And I was like giving him a little bit of like a theater clap. I was like, yeah, that's all right, man. I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. But that was pretty entertaining, though. That was
good to know he knows how to interact with the crowd.
Yeah, it was a fun night. But yeah, so yeah, they profiled him. Honestly, yeah, he'd be pretty good, in WWE. He could work that magic shit, and kids will eat it up. Hey,
for some reason, I think he has to be teamed with Aiden English, though.
What'd you say?
He has to be teamed with Aiden English, though.
Really?
Mark Owens 2.0.
Oh, no. I don't know. No, I don't think he needs that. I think if he had a female assistant like he has, like with Candy Cartwright, I think he'd be golden. I think he'd be golden. Yeah. I think that would work. Yeah. What other WWE related news? apparently Apollo Crews is not Apollo Crews anymore. It's just Apollo.
I saw that.
So they did that, and people were getting on Terry Crews saying it's his fault. But like Terry Crews, kind of chastised them for taking his name. But like 3 years ago, he gave his blessing. I was like, what's up with that?
Well, I'm sure he feels mixed about it. He probably just liked Apollo Crews' look and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, he probably just doesn't care about WWE.
Yeah. But he had an exchange with Titus O'Neil that was all right, though. So, it's
yeah. Right. It really strikes me as a guy who respects the wrestler, doesn't really care about the company.
Yeah.
Which is which is how I think people don't like wrestling should treat wrestling. Respect the wrestlers. Exactly. But don't, if you don't care about the company, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Then, in other WWE related news. Apparently, Jeff Jarrett. We forgot to talk about that. Jeff Jarrett is now an inductee.
I still don't believe it.
What?
I don't believe it.
Apparently, Sports Illustrated. It Sports Illustrated basically said that it was Triple H who pushed for it. And Triple H was like the first to like really congratulate him. So. It kind of makes sense. Yeah.
I don't believe it. Fucking extorted $30,000 from Vince McMahon.
Hey, man. I think Triple H respects him, though. You know? Because I think in the back of his mind, he Triple H idolizes Vince, but in a way, he kind of admires Jeff Jarrett as well. Because if you look the way that he talked about how he built up talent and all that shit like that in TNA, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense to me. But yeah, so that was a interesting. Fucking Jeff Jarrett being inducted. I wonder who's going to induct him, though. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, who is going to induct Jeff
Jarrett? Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle? Oh, yeah, could be. Could be, because he did give him a he did toss him in there when WWE told Kurt that he needed to get his shit together and stop wrestling for a while. And he was like, all right, I'm going to go to TNA. Oh, yeah.
See, my only concern is it seems like we're going to go another year without Bull Nakano and Bam Bam Bigelow, the two people want in the Hall of Fame.
People were also clamoring for China and Christian as well.
Or in British Bulldog. Wait, is British Bulldog in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
But, yeah, China definitely. I'm sure Christian will get in down the line, but he's not as much a concern to me right now.
No.
I want Bam Bam and Bull. I mean, Bull is... I mean, there's actually probably a whole era of women's wrestlers that WWE has still ignored. I mean, and I was actually hoping, because they have actually posted stuff with Bull Nakano over the last couple years, you know, for videos. They even wished her, I think, a happy birthday this year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe next year. Maybe we have to wait till they go through all the 90s WWE women first.
Yeah.
But who do they have after Ivory? I mean, Jacqueline's in. Yeah. Trish Stratus and Lita's in.
Is Terry Runnels in?
Terry Runnels might not be in.
Yeah, but Terry Runnels isn't in yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't do Terry Runnels before I do Bull Nakano, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Who else do they have from that era? I guess Jazz, but I don't know if they would put Jazz in.
Yeah, because Jazz, even though she was dominant, she was still relatively short-lived.
So, yeah.
So it may be a while before they decide to go with her.
I guess they could do Molly Holly, which I'd be fine with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. She hasn't been inducted yet, huh?
Yeah. Shit. So I kind of expect to see her before Bull, at least. I like Molly Holly. She was definitely my favorite of that era. The best of the actual female wrestlers in terms of wrestling skill. And apparently a really nice woman for how much she worked with those. Wait, did Victoria get in yet?
No, she did not.
Yeah, well, there's no way Bull's going in before Victoria at this rate.
At this rate, no. I ain't the lady to mess with. she had some pretty dope theme songs, man. She had that one that had fucking Nicki Minaj, an early Nicki Minaj. And then she had the other one, her original theme song from the two Russian girls that pretended to be lesbians.
Yes, I remember them.
I forgot what the...
Good on those women for making that money.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was. I also like her. I mean, I liked Trish, and I thought Lita had an interesting aesthetic, but they weren't my favorite of the women.
No.
I thought Molly was the best wrestler, and probably one of the most adept, because she kind of went with whatever gimmick gave her.
Right.
And I thought Victoria was a pretty good middle ground. She was a good wrestler. She had a pretty good character. I mean, and you know, you got to give credit to Molly and Victoria for basically forcing their way into a pay-per-view by especially Molly Holly agreeing to a hair match.
Yeah.
Just to get on a pay-per-view, because they felt there should have been some women on that pay-per-view that year. I like those two. I mean, I like Trish Stratus as well. I mean, I thought she was a solid wrestler with a great gimmick. But that was about as far as I go with her.
Yeah.
I definitely like her a lot better than Lita. Lita's matches scared me because I always assumed she was going about to break her neck.
Break your fucking neck. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was always weird to me because, I mean, I guess it was still not that common to see women with a lot of tattoos. But... because there was a lot of super fans of her. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, she's a redhead with tattoos, okay. And she comes out to rock music, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find a similar in rock music if you looked really hard, but whatever. Yeah.
I guess. Okay, and then what else? More WWE news. WWE was named one of Fast Company's most innovative companies. Not surprising.
Innovative. Wow.
Yeah. Innovative. Yeah. It's not surprising. This is on the heels of WWE basically recording record runs last year. I think most of it due in part by the WWE Network. So
yeah,
WWE Network some years ago was probably the best gamble they've ever taken. Period.
Yeah.
And they've been selling pretty good when it comes to merch, too, so.
Yeah, their tickets are a little bit questionable, but in terms of other areas, they're making returns on their movies. They're making definitely returns on the network. Let's be honest, their merch is a little expensive. So, of course, they should be making some goddamn money on that fucking merch.
Oh, yeah. See, the only time I ever buy merch from WWE is when they have, like, some discount, like, the day, like the night of Raw or some shit. Because they always have some type of, like, deal going on, like, on Monday or some shit. So, like, when I catch, like, a really good one, then I decide to jump on it. I think the last time there was a deal, I ended up getting a Sami Zayn shirt and a Rock shirt. Yeah, because those are the last two I got. Speaking of merch, I got I finally bought an Evolve shirt. I think they're like one of their older logo shirts. So I just copped that one on Sunday. And also got this like tote bag thing from Zack Sabre Jr. Might take that to take that grocery shopping and save some plastic and shit, you know. But what else?
I really want to get that new Tetsuya Naito shirt with the skull and the hat.
Oh, okay.
And the eye gesture.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't
I'm hoping if
I don't know. Like, yes, all that Japanese shit is always hard to come by.
Yeah, because really you can only get it off of pro wrestling tees. I was hoping that this one would show up at maybe Hot Topics, but they haven't really expanded much outside the Bullet Club stuff yet.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really surprised they haven't sold the Everything is Evil shirt, because that just works for Hot Topics old school aesthetic.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. But, because, I mean, I think actually a lot of the low LIJ shirts are very great designs that would probably sell well there.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, there was a stupid fucking argument, because everybody keeps trying to, like, minimize the success of New Japan, and they started, like, these people were trying to make this point that, so what if they're selling at Hot Topic, who goes to Hot Topic? It's like, well, they are still, Hot Topic's been around, it's over places, or people are like, yeah, it outsells WWE shirts and stuff like that. Like, well, how many of these people are wrestling fans who buy shirts? They may just buy it for the aesthetics. So it's like, so fucking what?
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, and honestly, if you're buying a shirt called Bullet Club, you're probably going to at least look it up afterwards. Maybe screen some stuff. I mean, I don't know what is up with these WWE marks. And listen, a WWE mark calling an indie fan an indie mark is the stupidest fucking thing.
Yeah.
These people need a...
They're all fucking marks.
Yes, they're all fucking marks. I'm a mark, they're a mark. Calm
We're
the
all
fuck screen- down.
Yeah. Oh, shit. In what other news? Sami Zayn was honored by the Armenian American Medical Society for his work, his charity work for Sammy for Syria, which I actually donated to $25.
Cool.
Yeah. So
I the last thing I donated for was the Parkland Survivor Fund.
Yeah, but he's been doing this Sammy for Syria campaign for maybe. A year and a half, maybe, I think. It's been a while. He's been doing this one for a while, so good on him for getting that. But yeah, this is on the heels of like Syria's really getting fucked up. Like they allegedly, like there's been maybe over 100 and like 100 plus people murdered in the past like 3 days. Like they're fucking that's a fucking massacre going on over there. Fucking crazy.
Yeah, there's some nasty stuff happening.
It's really, really bad. It's really bad. Yeah. But time for some lighter news. A troll tried to call Brian Cage's dick small on Twitter, which prompted Melissa Santos to come up with a very graphic comeback in his defense. Very good. Basically, if your girl isn't defending you and your manhood like that, then she's not the one. More about women, apparently Gail Kim's nudes leaked. That's tragic.
Yeah, fuck whoever did that shit.
Keep leaking. God damn, people leaking shit everywhere these days, man. It's like the third...
These are probably the same guys who get mad when they don't get nudes from women.
Right. See,
Bitch, you leak it.
And that's why people don't do that shit. As often these days because you can't trust these dudes.
No.
Like, they're fucking it up for the rest of us. Like, come on, dude. Jesus. But speaking of women and men and interactions with each other, James Ellsworth, he made an intergender title. Yeah.
Wow. He's the Charlie Kaufman of wrestling.
The Andy Kaufman. Yeah, he's basically the Andy Kaufman of wrestling now. So like, yeah. So it's blue and pink. The design's actually not bad. Yeah, if you can look it up, you can find he posted it on Instagram. It's actually pretty decent design.
Oh, this reminds me. Rip Rogers was trying to rip into the Brian Cage versus what's her name? Was it Rachel Ellering?
Yeah, I think it might have been. Was it?
Yeah, he was ripping into it.
A lot of these old school cats are really annoyed with the intergender matches.
Yeah, and when people said that the crowd loved it and they got a great response, like, so what? What was the pay number? What was the pay number? I keep thinking to myself, what the fuck is Rip Rogers and why should I give a damn?
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck Rip Rogers is. I see wrestlers like retweet him every now and then. Like apparently he has some good points. But but that old school mentality is just like out of there. Like it's fucking annoying.
These guys are all like idiots. They're applying old school logic to wrestling today. And that old school logic was also very much one-centric.
Yeah.
Because because intergender wrestling's been around for actually a while. Japan's done it for a while. Mm-hmm. Mexico has done it occasionally. So you basically, wrestling is so much influenced by so many things now, it's not as Western-centric in its growth. Which is also like they hate all these high flyers, when a lot of these high flyers were influenced by luchadors.
Yeah.
And there's the idea that all high flying is super choreographed. A lot of these luchadors don't have time to do that fucking choreography. they're just trained to wrestle in a way where guys are like, look, they know I'm going to do a crazy high fly move, and they know they have to stand and catch me. Right?
Yeah.
I bet you half the time the high flyers are like, what the fuck did this nigga just do? I'm stealing that for the next show. But they're applying this old school logic, this really Western, Southern wrestling specifically, logic to it. It makes no goddamn sense. Wrestling has grown up, and they're like, it's still real to me. Bitch, when I was in the 80s, I was told straight up at like 6 or 7 that the matches were fucking fixed.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, okay, I'll just accept wrestling as fun from now on.
Yeah, I figured it out on my own that wrestling was fake. Like, maybe less than a year into actually, like, watching wrestling, but it really didn't fucking matter to me anymore. So I just kept watching it and shit.
I saw a clip of a guy who's going to be at the Chicago Young Lions Cup. Fuego del Sol. He looks pretty fucking insane.
Okay.
Very Mexican lucha libre crazy high
flyer.
I guess he's going to be coming in with some butt, so look out for him coming up on the indie scene.
Alright, and then going back to James Ellsworth, honestly I hope that his title is more than a joke title.
Yeah. Oh, he wrestled for the NWA World title just recently.
Yeah, I heard. But yeah, I honestly do hope that it's more than a joke title, you know? Because, like, if he, like, I want to see some dope shit. I want to see less Andy Kaufman and more Greg Excellent versus Mia Yim, that type of shit.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's going to be that good, but but I think he understands, you know, where his purpose in wrestling is, and hopefully it can continue. I mean, because he's been wrestling for some years. I don't know if he was a comedy wrestler before that,
yeah.
But he seems to be treating his job. He's taking this very indie status really seriously.
Yeah,
good for him for being able to keep his name too.
isn't that his real name though?
I think so, but you know WWE, because they sometimes change jobber names. He came in as just a plain jobber.
Oh yeah.
They didn't even bother to give him a jobber name. They were like, whatever, James Ellsworth.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that's... And then, speaking of indie wrestling, and the resurgence of it in the past, like, how many years, Joey Ryan was basically interviewed about how, basically, he bought a home that's worth over $500,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Intergender wrestling doesn't pay.
Yeah,
well, tell that to fucking Joey Ryan's dick, because it's paying well.
Yeah, so, and then Ryan basically attributed it to, like, yeah, like, a lot of it comes from the talent around the world that's just, like really stepped up, and including the fans. Fans have gotten behind indie wrestling a lot more the past few years. Even with the bump in quality of like WWE, or the increase of awareness of New Japan and stuff like that, people are still clamoring to indie promotions to go watch their shit, buy their merch, all that shit. Watch buy certain people buy pay-per-views, subscribing to streaming services, whatever. But yeah, like, because it's become more popular, like, around the world, a lot of people don't have to rely on, I'm going to wrestle weekends, and then on the weekdays, I'm going to have, like, a 9-to-5, or some other dumb shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can make, like, if you're good enough, you can make a fucking living on indie wrestling.
And yet, there's still all these WWE marks who hate this.
Yeah. Like, why bother going to WWE when you can have your freedom and make just as much money and not have the stress of dealing with their schedule or a lack of usage, you know?
I think the schedule is why Ospreay's I'm not that interested in WWE, from what it sounds like. I guess in an interview with Jericho, he said that he believes that WWE's brutal schedule might make him lose interest in wrestling in general.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can tell.
It's a soul-crushing thing.
I can tell that type of that schedule could burn out people. Honestly, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, good on Joey Ryan. He making that real money. So yeah. What other news do I have? Oh, and other indie news. Apparently, Gran Akuma has retired. Like, straight up.
Wow.
Like, he's done. So, he basically announced it that due to all the injuries that he's sustained, he won't wrestle anymore. He just can't do it. Apparently, he was supposed to wrestle at National Pro Wrestling Day and didn't do it.
Well, you know, if you're doing it for your health, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And then, what other news? Jenna Maresca, if you guys remember her, I believe she was on Survivor, and then she had a short stint on TNA. She had this match against Charmel that ended up being labeled, like, the worst match of that year. But, yeah, she got arrested, like, last month. What ended up happening was that she, I don't know if she OD'd. she might have OD'd and she got revived. And when she got revived, there was police that were around her, and she flipped out, like lost her mind and fucking bit a cop.
Wow.
Yeah. So she ended up getting arrested and all that shit like that. So hopefully next thing we hear from her is that she went to rehab. Don't want to hit the next thing be she's fucking dead or locked up for a long time. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a damn shame. But in other news, people who wrestled in TNA for a little bit. Jesse Godders, who was also a former reality show guy, where he used to be, he used to appear on Big Brother. Then he ended up in TNA. He's been finding a lot of work recently. He did the hosting. He's done some hosting gigs for Celebrity Big Brother After Dark. Because yes, that's a thing now in the U.S. They've had Celebrity Big Brother in the U.K. for some years now, but they finally did it in the U.S. Who's in it? I think Meta World Peace is in it. Fucking Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie is in it. Fucking Omarosa. And then who else? The girl who played Rudy in the Cosby Show is in it. Whole bunch of has-beens and shit. Really funny stuff. But yeah, he was the host of the After Dark stuff that can be found on Pop TV. He's also making music. I believe he shot a music video for a song that he made recently. And he's also filming a TV show with the incomparable character actor Eric Roberts.
Mm.
So, yeah, good on him for that. Yeah. You know, he's coming up in the world dipping his hands in everything. So, that's the way you gotta do it these days. But, besides that, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. Well, we covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, covered a lot, but in a very short time. Relatively short. Alright, so, yeah, I'm gonna just, go through our shit, so you can check us out on, rantemradio.com, at ready. Rant EM Radio for the Twitter. We are broadcasting Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also check out their other shows, The Rant, Freaks, Naked, and Geeks, Turbo Throwbacks, etc., etc. And go through their archives for past episodes. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter. Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube, Doomsday Gorilla, as in PWG's Gorilla, on YouTube is my secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joy Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. Yeah.
Anybody? And I don't care.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for him, westside.goth. I'm joking. No, it's like, what is it, Urban Golgothic? Is that your Tumblr one?
That's
right?
The Tumblr page I don't use anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, Urban Golgothic is
I think it's like CM Towns on Twitter and then westside.goth on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah, that's right. Yeah, westside.goth. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Baron?
And
yeah.
Fuck Florida.
Fuck Florida, yeah. Yo, that was
fucked up. We keep talking about porn is more dangerous to teenagers than guns.
They said they believe porn is more dangerous than guns. That shit is crazy, son. That is insane. That is fucking insane. Yo, that's how deep they are in pot. Like deep, like, gun lobbyists, like, have their pockets in. Like, it's crazy. Like, they're getting paid way too fucking much, dude. That's the worst part. That's the worst part. Like, what did they say? Mitt Romney, some years ago when he was campaigning for president, he said that corporations are people too. And
that definitely, like, resonated with me, because if you look at it, like, they're people, but they're people with a louder voice, like, to politicians, because their vote isn't a vote at the ballot box. Their vote is money. their vote is fucking money. That's basically it. Like, you pay these politicians enough, and they will put forth any type of legislation they want to. You know,
I'm just waiting for one of these NRA-backed politicians to find themselves in the middle of a mass shooting and then think, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Oh, no, they won't. Because if they survive, they'll still have their money. You'll still have their fucking money. That's
they'll
thing.
Be like, you survived a mass shooting, you should help ban guns. You know what,
And someone made a good point about, like, they tried to, like, say, oh, well, if we arm all the teachers, that'll work. Yeah, when you go to the military, what do you do? What's the first thing you're doing? You're in fucking basic training, and they're teaching you discipline, not just as a soldier, but as a person that can competently hold a fucking weapon, you know? Giving a teacher a fucking gun with little to no training.
They can't afford to get teachers pens and textbooks.
They can't afford a fucking gun. It's crazy, son. They can't even afford to do shit, but they want to give all of them guns. And
here's your 50-year-old textbook that you have to photocopy, which we're not going to allow you to because our photocopier is broken.
Yeah.
Here's 5 pens for the students to
share. So,
oh, and here's a Glock in case you need to shoot somebody.
Yeah, and even so, yeah. So, like, say a shooter enters a school, pulls the firearm, right? Kids start rushing out. They're spraying kids, right? They start spraying kids. And teachers with guns decide, all right, let me see if I can shoot this motherfucker. Next thing you know, they're missing all over the place. Things ricochet. Next thing you know, you'll find out that they end up hitting kids themselves. So it could be a complete catastrophe. People are not, like, these shooters aren't stupid. They're not going to be like, oh my god, there's somebody with a gun. They're like, they're not going to go in there and just start shooting all willy-nilly. They're going to have a game plan to, like, kill as many people as possible before somebody gets to them, you know? It's going to be the case every single time. Because at the end of the day, like, if they're already shooting, they already have their guns drawn, you try to pull your shit from your holster or your fucking desk, whatever, is going to, people aren't fast enough to react to all that stuff. You're fucked either way. You know?
I don't even trust the teachers or the security with guns. Because you know they're going to just, like, one of the students is going to piss them off and they're taking and start unloading on somebody.
Oh, yeah, that could be possible too.
Or some security guards like, wait, no shit, and then pull out a gun and start shooting.
Yeah, there's so many variables that make this badly.
You're going to have some fucking lawsuits. Schools are going to be losing even more money.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, God, like, I can't even trust myself with a fucking weapon, and I actually went through basic training shit. So, fuck that. Yeah, fuck all that shit. Man, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. but I'm not going to be trying to arm myself. Like, fucking some asshole. That. I don't know. But, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, we went on a tangent. I'm sorry, people.
Yeah. That was it. So, we're going to end this on a high note. And, hey, smoke weed every day.